Welcome to Wheel to Wheel, the premier Formula One podcast by two ladies who fell off and know medium to nothing about Formula One.
The first Singaporean Grand Prix in 3 years brought us a weekend of surprises across the board, including reliability issues, a fired up Max Verstappen, and tire choices that would change the fate of the race.
I'm Zaylee.
And I'm Maya.
Lights out and away we go. Maya, those claps not needed.
How dare you all my claps?
It's the thing that it's going to have to be edited. So now if we want this whole section in to talk about claps, somebody has to sit there and audio engineer those spikes. And that is what I'm aware. That's what I'm conscious of as we record.
Okay. But no anyways. Clapping. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
I am so excited to talk about this race. And in a lot of ways, I feel like Singapore has a similar personality to us because this track hasn't been back in 3 years and still shows up and stole the show of this season. And we haven't been back in basically 3 years on this feed. And we're about to do the same, right?
Yes. Yes, Zaylee. I agree. I think we are about to show everybody what they've been waiting for. Okay. The twists, the turns, the rain. It's raining in New York right now. I think this is all us, baby.
What are you thinking about this race weekend? Like, what's like the craziest things to you?
I'm so glad you've asked because there's always little murmurings, whisperings, random things going on the paddock. This weekend, our king, the love of our lives, Lewis Hamilton, talked about the jewelry ban a little bit more because he had his nose stud in and Mercedes had to pay 25,000 euros, I think, or pounds, whatever, a 25,000 pound fee for it. And he was just like, I kind of don't care. Lewis is like, and I also tried taking it out. I had a nose infection. He had like flared up, whatever. But he just seems to have released all care about the nose stud.
This is just exposing him as like the rich, privileged person that he is, and also how little it matters. I feel like they do the same thing in the NBA where they'll find players and the players just are like, I don't care. And it's a little bit of just showing their asses about just how little that money means to them. And also 25,000 euros. I mean, today it's on par with the dollar, but like euros used to be more expensive than dollars and used to, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money to be wasting.
My question is, do you think they're going to get tight? Like Mercedes, the team will just be like, hey, you got to figure out what to do with this because we can't keep paying 25,000.
No.
You don't think so?
Absolutely not. Both of these, like Lewis and Mercedes love each other. There's nothing like that love affair. That's like that's the strongest love we'll ever witness on this planet Earth.
He was also saying that he had gotten a note from a doctor about how he like can't take it out, but that reminds me of what you're saying of like the little kid who's like, I've gotten a note from my doctor. It's like, oh, shut up.
Speaking of doctors, so last week on an unreleased episode that no one will ever hear, we basically shamed Alex Albon for not for just having appendicitis, I guess. We were just like, that's so weak. And now that I've heard so much more about it over the weekend, about how he was literally on a ventilator and like almost died, I feel so bad for what we said, even though like it'll never air because it was just such an uneducated, I don't know. I just felt bad.
Dude, yeah, I read
but
that.
But he made it.
He's alive. But I was shocked to hear after having been on a ventilator that he freaking was racing the next week. Like that's in the ICU. Yeah. What?
They had to resuscitate this man. They had to resuscitate him.
I'm laughing.
Also,
it's not funny.
I've never heard of such complications before. Not that our original point still stands, but I'm just like, that is pretty shocking. Appendicitis, that does feel very routine. But maybe it's one of those things where the later that you get it in life, the like worse it is. I don't know.
Me neither. But you also heard him talk about how the doctors made him turn off the... Was last week at Italy? No. Why did I say Italy?
Monza. Not last week, but it was like a while ago.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. They made him turn off the race because he was watching it. He like woken up out of his stupor and was watching it and like his heart rate was elevating and they're like, you can't watch this anymore. He's like, oh man. So.
Wow. Interesting.
Shout out to.
Interesting that he was still that delicate though. That's like, damn.
To be honest, I feel that my heart rate is so reactive to things that like it. I don't want to talk about it too much because then it'll make my heart race, but it's just so reactive. And like anything will just skyrocket it. And I'm just sitting there like, I can't bring it back down again. It's bad. Anyway.
That is so bad. That is so bad.
It's so bad, dude. Wait, every time I go to the doctor, by the way, they like can't really take my blood pressure because my heart starts to race so much because I'm so nervous that they like it. Like it's bad. I tell you, it'd be like 130, 120, like just because I'm nervous. Anyway,
that's insane. All right, Maya, so any other headlines though?
Yeah,
away from the subject of hearts and heart stopping and all this.
Yes, of course,
gruesomeness.
of course. Something new news from the Haas pit lane, Haas garage. One of the things is that apparently their relationship between Mick Schumacher and Haas is a little tense right now, and he may be looking to move to a different team. So that's something that may be in the works. Who knows? Do you first have any thoughts on that?
I was just going to say that I feel like this relationship isn't tense, but since the beginning of the season, Gertrude Steiner? Why am I mixing up?
Gunther Steiner.
Gunther Steiner was just like, he was talking as if he still loved Mick, was talking about how difficult Mick was finding it in the car and doing it in this really delicate way. I think we commented on this podcast that it was like a interesting way of like him disciplining Mick through the media, but it was still very loving. And so I imagine that it's giving very much like, we have to do what we have to do. And I don't think Gunther would be like mean about it, but I'm not surprised that he's having trouble like signing again for the next season, because it is like 2 years of not really doing that well. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought that surprised me just for that reason of like, I remember Mick coming on board and that was a big thing for Gunther, and I think he felt like that was a really good get. But I think Mick could probably drive other cars better. Like, I think he has a lot of potential, and Haas has been doing much better this season, but I think he has a lot of potential. I could see him in AlphaTauri.
I feel like if it was his first year and he was just, and it wasn't Mazepin, but instead Kevin Magnussen, his teammate, he would have grown like the way that he is this year so much faster. But because of that first year of not having a real teammate, and then K-Mag just like whooping his ass from sunup to sundown on every single weekend that we've had this season, like Schumacher is there usually, but then he has these like shunts that, I don't know, to just show that he's green.
And it's interesting, actually, because Gunther was saying that if Gunther needs to stop talking, but like if Mick left, he would want a replacement that fans would love. And that would be like Nico Hülkenberg. He's like, I think he has great experience. The fans would love it.
Oh my God. Not him trying to bring the band back together. Like, please, Gunther, get out of here. Also,
so
didn't Nico Hülkenberg like, didn't he sub in for Vettel this season when Vettel had COVID?
He did.
He was like
sub
an Aston
in
Martin
somehow.
Reserve.
Yeah.
And he like didn't do well. I think it's just him and Latifi that have 0 points this season right now, because in a random way, like he ended up in the driver lineup for the season because of that. But like he was having trouble like finishing the race, right? Weren't they complaining of like neck issues? K-Mag just got over that. Like, stop bringing these oldies.
He's literally thinking like he's the manager of a band. Like, it's the Spice Girls reunion tour. Like, he's like, why not?
Nico is ugly, old. Maybe this is all strategic, just trying to get Mick to like drive with a little more fervor. During this race, Russell was behind him, and Russell was like,
But
wow,
he was aggy.
Yeah, he was aggy. He's like, he's defending like this is the race of his life. Like, mad rude.
Oh, so rude. And then also the commentators were like, he wasn't doing anything that crazy. I just think that George was an aggro today. Like, he just was in a mood.
Yeah. Yeah, but if that's the case, if Gunther's just trying to manipulate him into driving better, like, it's working.
Gunther's manipulation tactics, I would love to have him try that on me because I'm just curious. It would be really funny.
He should write a self-help, like, management book about business and about how to, like,
The Art of War by Gunther Steiner.
literally. Any more headlines?
Yeah.
More, for sure.
For sure. So Christian Horner is incensed because people have alluded that Red Bull has gone over the budget cap for the season, and apparently it's like an open secret on the paddock that they have spent more money on things than they should have.
It's two teams, right? It's Red Bull and Aston Martin.
I've only seen about Red Bull.
Two teams.
but Aston Martin.
Okay,
well.
I think there's two. There's one more that's like rumored to have gone over the cost cap this season. Keep going. Sorry.
But he was like, I think these are these statements are defamatory and they should stop. Also, Max was like, people should shut their mouth if they don't know what they're speaking about. Like, you know, they get angry. But do you see? Mm-hmm. Could you see that?
First of all, I could see anyone going over the cost cap.
Me too.
Yes. And I think this week, or maybe it's already happened, but like very soon they're going to hand out these certificates in F1 that certify you as like having been within the cost cap or just being safe from like cost cap things for this season. And so like we're going to know very soon who wasn't awarded the certificate or whatever. Why do I feel like they're all going to be posting on social media like certified? Literally. But like certified. I do think that if they're the way Red Bull is responding is giving very much like they're confident that they didn't, and maybe they're going to be arguing with people for the rest of this week to like figure it out. But also I think that it's a very binary thing. Like they could have gone over it by $5,000 or by $7 million, and like that is not, I'm curious about what this like what the big hubbub is. I think Mercedes has gotten wind that maybe they won't and is like getting very excited, but they're gonna look stupid if they're over it by a small amount or like it didn't, whatever. I don't know.
And obviously Toto is at the helm of these claims, but you know Toto is like, these things, there should be a robust investigation into like costs and this and that and whatever. So we'll see. TBD.
It's kind of, I think that it's like made especially worse by the fact that they are the car to beat this season and ended up spending them, if they did go over the cost cap, like then they've spent the most amount of money, which is pretty, that's what makes it, I think, double annoying for like people. And that's what'll make it a sympathetic story, I guess. I don't know.
That's interesting.
We'll see.
I'm going to say they didn't go over the cost cap just because they do seem very feverishly like, no, we didn't, but whatever. We'll see what happens. Lewis Hamilton has spoken about the epic experience of working with Brad Pitt on this new F1 movie.
Oh, God.
So the F1 movie has been developing. He was in Jerry Bruckheimer's office in L.A. going through the plot, the planning, all kinds of things. And I don't know. I'm just really excited to watch this movie. That's really all the news there is about it.
Lewis is the perfect celebrity to work with for something like this because he is just going to hype the hell out of it and like be super excited to be a part of it. And like, I wouldn't be surprised if they do make a lot of money at the box office,
totally.
Mostly in part because Lewis Hamilton is like a great salesman for this and will be. He's such a good brand ambassador.
But do you think it should live on Apple TV? I was kind of surprised that this wasn't going to be like a blockbuster type.
It might have a limited release.
Yeah.
It might have a limited release. Lewis also might have, I'm curious, maybe I should just look this up, but like someone might have an overall deal with Apple. Like maybe Lewis signed something with Apple, or like maybe somebody just got a big amount to release it through there. I don't know. We'll see. Do you think it's going to be good?
Low key, I think it can be really good. I don't know. Like, I don't watch too much Jerry Bruckheimer. Like he did, what's the big movie?
I don't know what big movie. You keep saying Jerry Bruckheimer. I'm like, I don't know this man. I'm sorry to this man. Let me look him up.
He did Mother Effin. God. It's the one with Tom Cruise.
Top Gun.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, I knew this. Yeah.
Thank you.
But the thing is, Brad Pitt isn't my favorite movie star. And like, the fact that he's gotten less handsome and then also fell off with his movie choices. He did like the last movie in Hollywood or something like that.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
DiCaprio. And that really turned me off for some reason. Just because I was just like, I sat in that movie and thought I was going to be so much better than it was. And I was like, why are these personalities doing this? Like, this is just giving me a window into your actual taste in a way that I didn't
like. As an
actor.
I didn't watch the movie, so I was actually thinking about watching it recently. But you didn't like it.
I didn't like it, and then I also didn't like Bullet Train. And these are like some of his most
watch
recent
that one.
Films. It's fun. It's like actually fun. I think it got bad, like worse reviews than it deserved. But even so, Brad Pitt was like noticeably, I thought, not good, or just like he wasn't good at the comedic thing. He wasn't pulling off comedy action well.
Oh, weird.
Like, it wasn't hitting for me. Yeah.
I want like an Aaron Sorkin version of this movie. Like, I think it has the potential to be good. I just think it needs to be written so well. Like, it has to hit every note.
It won't be. That it won't. It's not. If this is like by the same people who made Top Gun, like it's not going to give it? Aaron Sorkin. No, I didn't.
Okay.
But I feel like I don't need to. Also.
I watched it and it was like, I didn't, first of all, I didn't watch the original. So I wasn't around in the '80s, wasn't watching that movie, but mm-hmm. I thought it was okay. Like I didn't see, it got, literally got like 90 something on Rotten Tomatoes. I was like, is this really supposed to be that good? I didn't really get it. I didn't get it. I really
yeah,
didn't get it.
I think it's just like bringing the band together, the get theme it. Of this fucking episode, I guess. But like, I don't think Top Gun is actually, and also Top Gun is like a weird holdover of like, these are things that I've heard about Top Gun, so now it's not coming in from the horses. This is like all secondary source material.
Yeah.
But apparently Top Gun has like, they don't address like who are the enemies, like who are the people at war. Like it's a mm-hmm. very vague movie and like made purposefully so. And I'm not a fan of like vague movies.
Vague
like
race.
I already know that. Yeah. And like action movies, usually that's what like just gets me. I'm like, this is boring because like, what exactly are we doing here? And like, can you establish like who these people are and how they got here? It always just drops you in very fast. And yeah. Anyways, well, I don't think this is going to be that good.
Wow, there's so much to say about Top Gun, but because I had another tidbit of information, I'll just say this.
Tell me, please drop it in and relate it to F1. That's your
well,
task.
Okay, I'll try and relate it to F1. But the first movie was apparently a lot of it was like just military propaganda. Like it came at a time where like they were mm-hmm. really trying to get young, obviously white males to enlist in the. What, it's not the mm-hmm. Navy. Bro, this is how far... You see how me and Zaylee don't, like...
Air Force?
Yes, thank you. Trying to enlist in the Air Force. And that's basically it. To your point about, like, the nameless enemy and all of these things.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, very politically driven. That's why a lot of people are, like, not into yeah. the films.
Yeah.
And let's see. Yeah. Does that relate to a headline that I have? well...
I was going to say, have you seen this headline about like qualifying and the Max drama with the fuel load?
Yeah.
Could it relate to that somehow? I'm literally asking you.
Okay, I don't know that.
Does Top Gun relate to that moment?
There's probably
they
a
made
scene
a tough
like
call.
That.
Yeah. It's giving like army versus soldier, like someone from the headquarters is like, do it. And the person in the thing is like, this
what
is a bad call.
Yeah.
Literally. But apparently he stormed off early. He was the
Whoa.
First driver to leave. He left. I was listening to a podcast where they were recording it on the paddock and they were like, oh, that's Max. He's leaving. Like everyone else would be here for hours. He's left without talking to the engineers. Like they were just
Shut up.
Watching him walk away. They were like, he's got his bag with him. They're like narrating and shocked as hell. Which I understand. I guess, which I understand. Which I understand.
I understand it too.
But
on
do
the
you
level.
Have the like full news story of it? Because it's like a confusing thing.
I didn't, but I can pull it up.
It's like they realized that he wasn't going to have enough fuel to, I guess, finish qualifying, and so they pulled him when he was on his
final
lap. This final lap, and that was the lap that was supposed to be the fastest lap, and which probably is true because he was way ahead of Perez this entire weekend, and Perez was so dominant in the race that like if Max was ahead of him, like imagine how much faster he would have gone and how mm-hmm. like dominant his win would have been. But apparently the F1 journalists are like, this is an extremely hard, even though this task is something that they do every week, it's really hard. It gets really hard to measure fuel when things get wet, because as the track is getting wetter, you use more fuel. And so like that variation, and especially when people were like going in and then coming out because of traffic and like holding back, like qualifying is not this like easy. It just changes lap after lap
yeah.
where you're like, oh, the driver's like, oh, I'm getting rid of that lap. And so I'm not pushing this time. Like it can just get kind of difficult to manage. So, but then again, like this is a Ferrari ass mistake. Like if it were Ferrari, we would have been like, Ferrari can't do shit. Da, 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 da.
Well,
so I don't know. I don't know how mad he should have been. I don't know.
Well, I would be mad because it was a miscalculation from Red Bull's side, which is what
uh-huh.
What I kind of understood from it, that they basically, you want to save enough fuel so that they have something to test. We're saying this, that they have something to test when you like pull in, and they just were getting antsy about it and were like, let's just abort mission. And but they did have the fuel. So I would be pretty upset too, especially because of how where he started on the grid.
Yeah. Apparently there was a pull lap years ago where Lewis Hamilton, like when he was a young driver, like year, like a decade ago, but basically like did his super fast lap and then stopped in the middle of the track because he wanted to have more fuel to measure. And so they basically like, he was still able to maintain that position.
Whoa.
Because he did completed the pole lap, but then also his car had to be like carted off. So they had enough to feed, like they had enough oil. Another thing that is a fun story about Lewis in Singapore was like, apparently years ago, Singapore is where Lewis, people have this theory that Lewis and Bono have a secret language for like when the tires are actually done versus when the tires, when he still has more to go. So Bono will be like, how are the tires, Lewis? And he'll be like, my tires are gone, versus being like, my tires are done. Or like, he'll just use other language to describe things. But people have said when he says my tires are gone, they're actually not gone. Like there's a certain amount more. And apparently that conflict came to a head a couple of years ago in Singapore. Like one of the last times they raced it, or somewhere earlier in his career. Another like fun Lewis story. I don't know.
So anyways, that's interesting. So you're saying that he might have like pitted him at a time that actually wasn't right based on what Lewis was saying, like because of the miscommunication?
No, no, no. It was just like a secret code that they had.
Oh, that
he would
in
say
of
the
was...
tires are gone.
I see.
And that would mean that the tires weren't gone and the team would be able to like use that messaging to... But I think that they used to be a lot more strict about secret codes and stuff like that on the radio. And now there's like plan A, plan B, like there's all these secret
codes.
I love the codes.
Like we should make a secret language. That actually would be a fun game. Like decode
this message.
I had a secret
language with a friend when I was younger.
Really?
But it was just gibberish. We weren't really talking.
Oh,
secret code.
I love it. Like speak to me in code. It's so cool. I think that this could be the last headline, something to leave us with, something to consider. Another Hamilton thing. He admits that he feels for fans over Verstappen's F1 title dominance, being that this race could have been a race that decided the championship. And he says that I feel for fans because for everyone, even for us last year, going right down to the wire, it was intense and it's a great. And so it's never a great season when the fight finishes early, even though that's something that's happened to Lewis before. He's literally finished seasons like races ahead and just got to have fun for the rest of the season. But do you feel that same way? Do you not like when a season finishes in this way?
I'm having so much fun with the stuff that's off the track that like the races are so entertaining, but also I feel like the season will continue to be entertaining in terms of off track rivalry for some reason. Like even if Red Bull is just winning, I feel like they're still going to continue to get into fights somehow for like the rest of the season. This is not what you asked, but I also just want to add that I don't think it's necessarily true that this battle will just end in the next race. Like this race means that the next race won't be as easy for Red Bull. And usually people just start to capitulate. And we're also coming back from a season break. And I just get the sense that I'm like, why do I feel like this is about to get messier and messier, not cleaner and cleaner? And also what Max had to do to win this weekend was to like, there were so many things that also had to happen for him to win this weekend. Like he had to get first and Leclerc had to be four or below. And like Perez had to be seven or below. Or maybe I'm getting those two swapped around, but like, It wasn't that he was just going to, like, win this. Like, it's other things had to happen, too. So I don't even think the championship is as over as the news story is saying it is. This is the second time this season, by the way, that he, like, could win the championship by the numbers. It's not even the first time that's happened, and it didn't happen. Like,
yes, you're so right. I remember that.
So I just am saying that I think the championship will go on. But if it ends early...
I would be annoyed.
Yeah, you know what I think we would feel? Yeah, I guess we'd be a bit deflated.
It's just kind of like, okay, blue, like, who cares now? I don't know. I like to see it go down a little bit more to the wire, but his comment and what you're saying actually, like, really ignited this thing of, like, oh, my God, you're so right that at any moment, like, things can change. Obviously, Red Bull is so much further ahead, but I would love to see Ferrari, like, come back in a way that makes it messier and more intense and, like, bring it down to the wire. We'll see. We'll definitely see.
Yeah. I sure hope they do.
I mean,
hope they do.
Charles being on pole today, I had a lot of hope for, but you know, alas.
I want to also say that it was Max Verstappen's 25th birthday this weekend, and okay. This is the year where we will turn 25. We're very early in 24, but we will turn 25 soon, Maya. And I saw that graphic on the screen and I just got so depressed because I was like, this man is at the top of his craft. He's 25 and he's on his way to his second Formula One World Championship. And we are doing what? What are we doing? What are we doing? Like, what are we actually doing?
I don't want to talk about it.
Don't say it like that. Don't say it like that.
It hurts.
I don't like that. This.
We're literally doing this. You guys can't see, but I just looked around comically.
And y'all are listening to us do this.
Yeah. So I mean, you already know. When I look at Lando, I'm like, you are 20. He's a year younger than us, is he not? I think he's 1999.
Yes.
He's probably just freshly 23, 24.
Pain.
In making millions of dollars in a place where he is doing the best that he could possibly be. Like, it's my
Pain.
Brain explodes. Emma Chamberlain, she's not a racer, but hey, that's another young person to compare yourself
for
to.
For those who don't know, Emma Chamberlain is a YouTuber who in 5 years, she's been on YouTube for 5 years. She just turned 21. She got on YouTube when she was 16, dropped out of high school, full-time vlogging for 5 years, and now she's like worth millions of dollars, and she just had an Architectural Digest video come out, and we all saw her house, and we all literally collectively cried as a culture. And if you missed that moment, go to Architectural Digest and watch Emma Chamberlain's house, because it's actually insane and a masterclass in taste and manipulating the entire internet.
Yes.
And all and just living a perfect life. Like,
no comments. She lives very beautifully, traveling, eating food, wearing nice clothes. I don't really see what could be wrong.
Other things that I wrote down, just like, I'm just throwing this in because it's like, we're about to talk about the race, but this is stuff that doesn't belong there. So I'm just saying it now. Mm-hmm. But like, Yas Capito, they put the camera in his face this weekend. He grabbed a rag and like grabbed the camera and like pretended to clean it and just got in the camera's face. And I was like, this is so much more interaction than anyone ever gives when you put the camera in their face. They just look away awkwardly.
Yeah. Mattia. That's funny.
Oh yeah, Mattia is so awkward with cameras. It's insane. It's insane. I guess that's it. Lewis led the time charts for the first time this season, which feels like a big thing. But then obviously, like, Mercedes was nowhere in the race, so I don't know. Pierre's car caught fire in FP2. The fire was so hot it burned pink, and literally, like, it was just like a full fuel fire, and he couldn't see it because it was directly behind him. So he was just sitting there. And they were like, get up. And he was like, oh, and like finally got up. But we could just see in practices that reliability was about to be a big thing this weekend. And also, I hate when the newscasters do this where there's one story that they've clearly all been given on their cards or whatever, but they were like, it's so hot here. It's so hot. And I'm like, are y'all just white? Or like, is it really, really, really that like unbearably hot? Because I feel like we've all experienced heat and it's not that. Like, if it was a hot day and I'm telling a story about something that happened on a hot day, I wouldn't just be talking about how hot it is throughout the entire story. I feel like you can just say once that it's hot. I don't know. It's just every single time I signed on to watch F1 meeting, they were like, it's so hot here. Like, it's with sweating, with dripping. Like,
I did look up this morning. I said, Alexa, she's not here. But I literally was like, Alexa, how hot is it in Singapore? I literally asked her that after the race because I felt like it was such a talking point. And she was like, it's 81 degrees and really muggy
what?
And whatever there.
That's so, not even hot.
But I guess it's like super humid. I don't know.
But we live in like 100. We've experienced 80 degrees, 100% humidity in New York City. I feel like that is a thing that we've definitely walked outside and felt. Right?
Yeah. I guess so.
Like, and it's fine. Like, it's literally fine. And those same temperatures can occur in like England, right? I'm like, is this really that exotic?
They
is this
don't
exotic to y'all? With global warming, y'all will feel it soon, and then it will be normal. So right at the race start, it was like Perez and Sainz both kind of pulled the same move on Leclerc and Lewis So the second and fourth people move up to first and third.
You're so annoying for like doing it like that. Cause I'm like... But yes,
I'm
you're
just trying to kill two birds with one stone. They kind of like nudged their competitors or, that were in the same row as them off the track in ways that felt very cool. Max had a really bad start. He almost goes into anti-stall and then starts way further back than he should have. Russell was also... they decided to change his engine this weekend, and so he was last, and so it was just like a cool mixed up grid.
Yes,
I
true.
Thought I noticed that one of the commentators used the word apoplectic. Did you notice that? I was just like, you are supposed to be the people's commentators, like why are you using these words?
Apoplectic,
these SAT words.
No, I didn't notice.
It was
that.
Crazy. There was a lot of damage during the race where they were like, all right, black and orange, black and white, like these people are coming in. But Max is cutting through the field, and literally by lap five, he's 10th. Like from going back so far, he's 10th. Albon has contact with the wall. Sainz has contact with Lewis. Max is being investigated for gaining an advantage for leaving the race. I just felt like from the very beginning, we were like, okay, this race is crazy. And this isn't even accounting for the fact that this race started an hour late because it was also wet.
Yes.
So like I wasn't up at 5 a.m. So that didn't affect me personally. I was just like, oh wow, like this race started late. Thank God. Like I didn't have to watch that for an hour. But also Lewis at the beginning of the race is like, oh, I freaking told y'all, like I told you I was right about the tires. And so there was this whole thing about like, oh, what tires did Lewis want to put on? Were they wet? Were they like used mediums? But either way, he was just feeling like the team had let him down on the wrong tires.
To me, Lewis don't have too much ground to stand on this race, so I don't want to hear it, but go ahead.
I think he's anyways, it turns out that like apparently someone noticed that Lewis's tires were the only ones that were different to everyone else on the grid right before the race start. And so it was a contentious decision. Like maybe the Mercedes was having a conversation with him about his tires up until the race. But can I just say that I wrote my notes in whatever. It autocorrected Latifi to Latino, and I thought that was really funny.
That's funny. That is funny.
So anyway, Latino hits the wall due to a puncture and takes Zhao out with him, which was so sad. Which was so sad. It's like it was none of Zhao's business, and Zhao was just like, all right, that was the first one. I think that was the first retirement of the race.
That was the first one.
George makes this crazy lunge on Bottas during the safety car that ends up like hurting them both.
No, I was going to say one thing about the safety car is there's a safety car every year at Singapore. Like, I think that's historically correct. And this race was like one of the craziest safety car races ever.
Yeah, race of attrition. Also, the most DNFs in this entire season.
Yeah, literally. Oh my God.
Only, like 14 people finished or something. Somebody made a joke like, oh, actually, I should give this commentate of the day. How do we usually call
commentary?
That a word? Commentary. Best commentary of the day was somebody being like, at this rate, like everyone would get points because 1 through 10 gets points, and like there were only going to be 10 people left. But after the safety car, Max is like kind of like stuck behind Alonso for a while. 9 laps, Alonso does his thing of just like being a wall that nobody can get past, which is. What do you think of that? It's annoying to me. I don't know.
He's annoying. You already know I find Alonso to be quite intense, an intense figure, and quite annoying. And I think he has a level of impatience that makes me laugh. One of the things that I wrote down actually is like the Norris-Alonso dynamic happening on the grid, which Norris was ahead of him. Alonso's just trying to get around and he couldn't really do it because Norris is actually doing a good job of defending, but they were kind of in a train at that point. I don't know. I just like seeing his frustration. I think he's kind of annoying. That's it.
Anyway, and then he just DNFs. So
yeah, I know.
And I was like, that's kind of what you get because like just instant karma because this is not your race. And I feel like you can never. There are some people who would just be like, it's not your race. Like, just let them through
all the time.
And I feel like Alonso would never do that. Like, that's not something you could even say to Alonso because he wouldn't be able to process like. The idea of not ruining someone's day because it's just you're running a different race and you're ruining your car trying to defend. He like wouldn't process that logic. But anyway, there's this whole thing happening with like, oh, is the track starting to like get dry enough to put on slicks? And and also it's very hot out there. So Ferrari's like, cool your tires, try like going into the water a bit. But then they like kind of slip around a bit more. Perez is struggling with tire degradation. George is asking about his brake temperatures. Albon is struggling with his brakes. But this is at the point where someone mentioned, oh, with 91 gear shifts over one lap, like, this is obviously a tough Grand Prix. I'm like, 91?
Wow.
Their fingers are going like this many times? 91 gear changes over a lap?
It's like a flute.
Are you crazy? That's crazy. Literally, they are playing that car like a flute, which probably means they can play like a flute. But moving on.
I thought you were going to say something else.
By the way, now I know that my mother listens to this podcast. So interesting.
Sorry,
Mom. Because this is going in there. And also, somebody mentioned the concertina effect or the concertina effect.
I think we listened to two different casts, but go ahead. What is this?
I'm just going to explain it. Because it was interesting. It basically happens when, and I see this all the time, but I didn't know there was a word for it. At a turn, when a trailing car temporarily closes in on a car because the car in front hasn't braked yet, but then the leading car accelerates first, and so the car behind it like appears slower. But do you always notice how like the cars bunch up at the corners and then they spread out immediately again? Mm-hmm. And like it always looks like the guy behind is like starting to catch up, but then he never does.
Yes.
That is the concertina effect. But basically, like, the later on in the race you go, the harsher this effect is going to be, obviously, because people start to like the distance starts to show, I guess, and like spread, and the more the laps go on. It's like a logical thing that you could work out. Like, obviously, if a car is going faster ahead, it's going to continue to like get further and further ahead, and then that effect will be harder on every corner. But I feel like it was just a good name to put on like something something that we can see all the time and probably like need a word for sometimes.
But
the effect is not nearly as, it's like probably why there are so many like overtakes, even not just in like the first lap, but like in the first five laps, because they're closer together in the corners and then eventually they start to spread out.
That is so interesting. That's something I absolutely have noticed. Never knew a word for that.
Yeah. Max is stuck behind Alonso, and then Alonso DNFs. And was that a safety car? I don't even know at this point. Albon goes into the wall.
Yep.
Loses a front wing.
Yeah. There's they a leave puncture. It there for a while.
Really. It's like the third double yellow safety car like intervention of this race. That wasn't even halfway through the race. And it was like at that point, there had already been. So then I think this is when they like switch from the laps to the clock, because they're like, you know what? We're not going to get through this many laps. We just have 30 minutes left or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then Ocon goes out too. So it's a double retirement for Alpine, a double retirement for Williams. Somebody was like, that could even make a coffee table. Sounds like a bag of nails. Like that car sounds like a bag of nails. That car could make a bookshelf. Like, literally. I was just like, are they writing these jokes beforehand? Like,
no.
I just genuinely need to know. They're just off the dome saying these like crazy. And then like, are these phrases things that exist in like the English language?
I was going to say, must be Britishisms. Some of them must be like just things that British.
But like, how do they have a new Britishism every week is what I'm saying. Like, how do they not repeat any of these? Everything is new. Everything is new to me. Like, I'm just like, what? What? Again? Another bar?
They're eating.
I don't know, Maya. I'm curious, how much respect do you have for commentating? Like, do you feel like it's on par with what they do on Oprah? Or do you feel like they're just like, okay, as like, I'm like in media, like, where do you put commentators? Because they seem to me like even more like they have more expertise and like are better at their job than like the pundits or like the reporters.
No, I wouldn't say like they're, I mean, maybe it's a little bit in between a punditry and something of a kind of expert. I don't know. Is it like Oprah? No, definitely not, because she's the queen of all. But I don't know. How much respect do I have for them? I respect them. I think they have an important role in terms of like showing people what to look at. But I also mm-hmm. think that they can, I feel like sometimes they'd be getting it wrong. Like, and sometimes also they just insert a lot of opinion. But I guess they're not supposed to be impartial, right? They're not like a judge. They're not like the FIA.
The F1 commentators, which now I'm starting to think is the one you listen to this weekend, I think they're a little less partial.
Mm-hmm.
The BBC people have their attitudes and have their opinions and are just like, they need to turn DRS on. This is ridiculous. Da-da-da-da-da. Like, they very much are partial, for sure.
Really?
I respect something about the improvisation of it.
Yes.
Like, I just cannot believe that this is, and I know they must have notes and screens and all kinds of things in front of them, but as, like, podcast people, I'm just, like, marveling at the fact that how their thoughts and their words are coming out, just seem to be coming out, like, stream of consciousness. And they're, like, talking about old stories, new stories, decades ago. Like, they're just pulling from so much information to keep that broadcast going. It's, like, it's insane to me. It's insane. It's insane. And the fact that, like, sometimes when they're red safety cars and they just have to, like, commentate on nothingness and
I know.
Like, just prattle on in between to, like, they know everyone is just, like, holding the time and they have a funny way of being like, oh, well, why we wait? Why don't we replay? Like, to,
say,
like,
that's literally us. That's literally us. Like, that is what we do. 100%.
Okay, I guess I have respect for us as well then.
Exactly.
I cannot believe. I marvel at the fact that we just talk. We can just keep talking.
It's called never shutting up, and then you just find a job that, like, reflects that, honestly. Okay, wait, where did you leave off? I have a few notes, too.
I left off at, I was going to say, Ocon goes off to, I guess I said this, double retirement for Alpine and Williams. Then we have the Russell puncture. He goes in again. And by the way, I didn't say that, like, there was this whole thing of being like, okay, Russell, since he's so far back at this point, has made mistakes, but has also, like, had bad luck and he's changed an engine. Why don't we just put him on, they put him on slicks to be like the guinea pig that went out first.
Yeah, yes.
And then obviously, like, people followed, but for so long he was, like, twitching and just looking crazy.
It did not
out
work.
There.
Yeah.
And he was being stubborn. He was like, I'm staying out because if we come in again, this race is over. And he ended up having to, like, switch on to softs before the end of the race, which was kind of sad.
I thought it was a weird race strategy, but I also kind of was like, okay, yeah. Like, you're just trying things. That's fine. He seemed...
Yeah, yeah. If they hadn't done it, I was, like, I'm going to say, like, even though Mercedes did pretty bad today, I was proud of them for, like, taking risks and even switching Russell to softs at the end, because I was like, thank you, exactly. Like, don't just do nothing. Like, at least you can do something when you have no other options. Like, just do whatever. It doesn't matter. You're not getting points anyway.
Yeah. Leclerc puts on slicks and he's actually doing it. Like, this is one of those times where it goes back to Leclerc. Low-key, I was forgetting about him. But, like, on these new tires, he was doing really well and able to attack. But we obviously know it didn't, you know, in the end. He makes a mistake, so he wasn't able to overtake eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Max did the same thing where, like, he comes out after putting new tires on. I think he's on softs. He's on a charge. He's cutting through the field. It's like, is he going to do something?
Mm-hmm.
And then he has this, like, pretty bad spin that puts him last. And then he kind of, like, gets through the pack again, but, like, nowhere near as far up. But it was like, he had a spin. Hamilton had a spin. It just looked scary. And then they focused us all on this one moment where it was a train of Vettel, Lewis, and then Max. And I think they were, like, in 6th, 7th, and 8th.
Yeah.
And I was like, this, okay, fine. But it's still not that exciting because they're in 6th, 7th, and 8th. Like, they're, like, three champions. It's like they're three champions that are on a DRS train and just happen to be together because they've all made mistakes this race, except for Vettel. But, like, Lewis and Max were both back there because they just didn't have good days and, like... I don't know.
It's like clown music. It's like dun 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 dun. Yeah.
Curb your enthusiasm. Never mind. Okay. And then there's this dominant Perez win. You know, they cut down, the clock hits zero finally on this 2-hour race.
Adventure.
Perez crosses the line first. Perez, they do this whole thing with, like, Perez was rushing the safety car along. He was supposed to be 12 paces behind. I honestly think he forgot, and that is a big infringement. They were like, we're going to judge this after the race. And everyone was getting so upset. Horner called in, and he was just like, yeah, I don't understand why the fans have to wait until morning to, like, get this decision. It's so ridiculous. Da, 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 da. But he ended up building this, like, buffer, the 7-second buffer, so that if they gave him a 5-second penalty, he would still, you know, be first. But I guess that was drama. I was like, none of these stories are that good, because the race ended up just, like, so mixed up and crazy today.
I agree. And I also, yeah, and it also was decided much quicker than I think they expected anyway, so we just know now that he's won, so it's fine.
I'm gonna look up the championship standings because I just want to know them now for the constructors. Okay, number one Red Bull, 576 points. Ferrari is behind them with 439 points, Mercedes with 373. This is insane because Mercedes has set their target to be number two in the constructor in the constructors championship, and like they are far behind Ferrari, especially after this race.
LOL.
This was a bad day for Mercedes, actually.
Totally. Horrible. Totally.
And Max Verstappen leads the championship standings with 341 points. Charles Leclerc, 237 points. Almost 100 points behind.
Wow.
And then Perez with 235 points. So Perez and Charles Leclerc are like on par this season. Perez might get second. Low-key, Perez should be much further ahead. Perez has been nowhere in the last like two races after he won, what was it, Monaco?
Monaco.
He won some big race, and then he kind of like disappeared after cheating on his wife. He like just started not performing as well. Could be connected. But anyways, he's like obviously back on top. But I don't even think today was that good of a day for him. I just think Max Verstappen like wasn't.
He didn't have a chance there. To fly.
Yeah.
I thought that was one of the better ones we've had in a while. It was fun to watch.
100% agree. 100% agree. Best in a while. A while.
And I hope it gets spicy again. We were talking about that. I hope it gets spicy. I want to see Ferrari come back up. I want to see some more talking. That'd be a dream.
Wow, soon. We're going to play a game. Maya, I'm going to read Maya quotes that have been published or people have said this weekend in the F1 media. And Maya is going to have to guess. Okay, 1 point if you can guess whether they're a team principal or a driver.
Okay.
And then 2 point if you can guess who they are.
Okay.
It's been looking positive all weekend, but not this positive. Is this a team principal or a team driver?
Dang. Principal?
No. Driver. Which driver was it? It's been looking positive all weekend, but not this positive.
So it must have been someone who was surprised by how well they did.
I'm super happy that we got a good result here and the team did an amazing job. It was great just to be able to put all the responsibility on them and they pulled it off.
And the responsibility
point is
weird.
These are all snippets from the same quote.
Is that George Russell?
No, it's Kevin Magnussen.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I think he's having a great time. He's like, Nico is about to be back. That's my little friend from a couple years ago. Like, he's hype.
This is the best day ever.
Should I go again? Do you want to go?
I can go. I'll go. Okay, ready? This quote. Who said it? We hope that the car works better here. But as I said, it really depends how bumpy it is. We do know it's going to be bumpy. Maybe the car will be fine. Maybe it won't. So I have no expectations at all. Just going to try and have the best weekend with whatever we're faced with. Team principal.
Okay, it's definitely a driver.
It's obviously a driver.
And it's definitely somebody with porpoising. So I'm like McLaren, Mercedes, maybe Ferrari. Maybe Ferrari, I guess. Okay, is it Esteban Ocon, actually?
No, it's Lewis. I liked how little it says at the same time. It's like, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. Who knows? We'll just hear it. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Vibes, I guess.
Yeah, my first instinct was Lewis, but I just wanted to zag because I thought you were going to zig.
Zig, right?
You know what I mean?
Yes, bro. That's what makes us good pundits. You got to zig or you got to zag, bro. Do you want me to do my other one or do you want one?
No, I'm going to go. Tough, challenging, but very happy with how today's turned out. A good position for tomorrow, and hopefully we can turn it into some good points.
That feels like a midfield comment for some reason. I don't know that someone that far up would say that.
A good qualifying, if very tough. It was probably the toughest conditions of the whole season. There are just those fine limits between it going wrong and it going right.
All right, maybe that's Charles Leclerc.
It's Lando.
Oh, I don't know.
Can't believe how it's so hearing his comments not come out of his mouth. All of these are just like muffling around. They're not really, they're waffling. They're not saying anything. Tough, challenging, but happy with how it turned out. Good position for tomorrow. Hopefully we can turn it into good points. They could basically take that and just say that every time. They probably do say that every time. Now
literally.
That I'm really looking at these. Without the specific context of what actually happened, it's very hard to figure these out. You go.
Okay. It was certainly my best performance. I controlled the race.
I think this is Perez. It's got to be Perez. I mean, this weekend, who else is talking like that? That would be talking crazy if you're not him.
I would love that.
I controlled the race.
It was my best performance. Low-key, I controlled the race.
Carlos, we didn't talk about this, but Carlos was controlling the race just by like going so slow. He was 15 seconds behind his teammate, and everyone who got behind him this race was so pissed. Like,
that's
so,
so true.
Pissed, because they were just like, he's so slow in front. But I'm like, if he's so slow in front and you can overtake him, then overtake him. That's why I don't get an F1. I'm like, why is it so... Mm. I know that in Singapore, it's hard, it's considered hard to overtake, but there were people overtaking. And I was just like, why is it an excuse to say the guy in front of you is going slow? Especially if he's going so slow. Like, I'm just like, overtake him.
Yeah, pass. That's so true.
Unless he's like... Like, I'm just like, isn't this only on you? Because either he's defending better than you, or he's like out defending you, or out driving you. So isn't this just exposing that you're not a good driver?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm just saying... All right, I think we're done with this game.
Okay.
I never know how many points. Do we count? Did we each do two? Did we count the points? Do we feel?
I think you had one and I had none. So you win.
Woo! Another one for LA. LA versus New York Olympics.
Oh,
LA
stop.
Wins.
You guys, I'll be visiting Zaylee in LA this week, actually.
Oh, yeah, since we'll record in person. So I don't know if you can hear a difference between our virtual recordings, but this one being in person is going to be so good.
We're going to kill it. We're going to eat. Eating.
All right. Until next time. Beyond.
Bye, guys.